This is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Leon J. DeLisle, the creator and producer of An Airman Story. You can catch our show several times each week on Warbird Radio. But for more information on our project, please log on now to AnAirmanStory.com. We are a 501c3 corporation and depend solely upon your gifts. If you would like to help us preserve history, visit us online today and make a donation. Many thanks.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
What America did for me, I treasure deep in my heart. I never dared to dream that someday I would be wearing the uniforms of two great air forces, that I would complete three distinguished military schools, accumulating some 8,000 flying hours in some 85 different types of aircraft. Yes, I was able to really achieve and accomplish all this with the opportunity given to me by Uncle Sam and the American people. And my gratitude to this great country is too great to express in words how I feel in my heart.
The Logbook Series featuring Steve Paisanos, available now at AeroCinema.com.
Sucking gas and hauling ass. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Uh-oh. It's that time again, folks. It is September 1st, 2010, and you're listening to the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on Warbird Radio. I am joined here. Well, I should say I should introduce myself first, just in case you haven't. This is your first time tuning in. I'm Ryan Keough, and joining me, as he is with every single week, is my co-host Zane Adams. We're both from the Warbird Information Exchange and Warbird Resource Group online at warbirdinformationexchange.org. It's a handful, in a mouthful. And Zane is one of our mods over there, and I'm one of the guys that also helps him out every once in a while when I sign on. So, Zane, how's the internet treating you today?
The internet was interesting today, to say the least, but it's good fun, good times, that's for sure.
Yeah, Zane is the only other person that here is willing to go up with me and you know, put up with my banter here on the Wix Warbird Weekly Live each week here. So I appreciate him. Missed you last week, Zane. You were out scanning the globe for a missing part of something. So
yeah, we had a UPS package that was missed next day air that was misdelivered twice in the same town and the different zip codes, and customer was dying, of course. So we had to go get it. So it was good fun.
Oh, you should have just sent it. You know what? When all else fails, send a C-47 out. It'll get the job done. You could fly the hump, but which I think is, you know, from like San Angelo to you. I don't know. You know,
fly the. Yeah, well, yeah, we'd have to land it on Central Expressway Friday night, or that last Wednesday night for
sure. Yeah, fly the Permian Basin. So
yeah.
Well, folks, we are taking your calls here live here at Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Give us a call here. We want to chat with you. We're talking on everything about warbirds here this week, as we always do. It could be Vietnam era warbirds. It could be World War II era warbirds. Heck, it could be World War I era warbirds. We just want to hear from you. If you've got any interesting new restorations or interesting news that you're coming across, if you're going off to an air show this weekend or have any air show reports to report back to us, give us a call here at 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. And we have here a giveaway this week. Zane, you weren't here last week, so you didn't get the privilege to give away some stuff here. But we've got AeroCinema preview pack DVDs here featuring the Mixmaster and the America Bombers that we're giving away. So the first caller gives us a call here tonight on the show. Again, 478-787-4768. We'll get you that DVD from AeroCinema. Tomorrow Cinema, who happened to be a great sponsor of ours and also of Warbird Radio. So we appreciate them allowing us the opportunity to give them away. So it's a great time to call in. Call in, folks.
Yeah. Please do. Call in.
Yeah, I know. A little bit of news that we got this past week, which was kind of a little bit of a bummer, actually. I saw that the Indiana Aviation Museum has announced via their website that they will be closing down as of October. For those of you unfamiliar, the Indiana Aviation Museum is based in Valparaiso, Indiana, and was the collection of Jim Reed. Had a P-51, a Corsair, T-6, a bunch of airplanes and a lot of great volunteers. And sad to see that's going to be going by the wayside. Not sure of the reason for it yet. I know that several of the aircraft are up for sale, so it could be another one of those victims of the economy that we've had. But it certainly was sad news, to say the least. He's been a great supporter of Oshkosh, always flies his airplanes up there, and you see him at a bunch of air shows around the Midwest. So hopefully he'll remain in aviation, remain in Warbirds somehow, and maybe the volunteers will have other opportunities. But, it's tough.
It looks like the P-51 was the Excalibur, and that and their Beach Baron, and one of their T-28s up for sale on Courtesy Aircraft. So I know the Excalibur has been up there a little while, so I guess we could have seen this coming a little, but it's sad to have a small museum like that and a nice guy go away. But
hopefully the vacuum will be filled in somehow with another museum in the area. Of course, we've got a lot of airplane museums in that area that need lots of help. Grissom is one of them that we all know and enjoy seeing the posts on Wix about, and that's close by. And you've got, of course, some of the museums up in you've got Kalamazoo's not too far away, and that's the former Air Zoo. I guess it's the Kalamazoo Aviation History Museum these days. So
it'll always be the Air Zoo to me, I guess.
I know. I miss the days with the cat flights and stuff. They're not flying as much anymore. They still do have or have plans at least to offer trimotor flights up there. But, Warbird flying out of the Air Zoo seems to be at a halt these days. But in better news, lots of airplanes have been taking flight for the first time and building up, new collections that we never have seen before, like the Vintage Wings of Canada Museum up in just outside of Ottawa. That's the kind of stuff that I like to see is things building up at least. And so hopefully we'll continue to, see that coming along. But one little thing that I mentioned this morning, Zane, I don't know, did you hear about this little kerfuffle with John and Martha King this past weekend?
Yeah, I read a little bit about it online here where they had, I guess they've got an N number that is the same as an N number of another airplane that was stolen 8 years ago, apparently. And I don't know, somebody noticed the N number or something, and the police detained them and the airplane, and, in El Paso, I believe.
Yeah.
And flying close to Mexico, I guess, is becoming more and more of a hazard. But
it was actually really confusing, because the organization that actually called or blew the whistle on it was actually based in El Paso, but they were actually flying out of Santa Barbara, California.
But that's
understandable, because it's been a very, very strange story developing, and it was basically they were detained at gunpoint, handcuffs were put on at that time, they were brought in for questioning basically. But the situation, I think, goes beyond just what you'd see in general aviation. Because for those of you that know aviation, John and Martha King are the primaries behind the King schools. And, many people have learned how to fly using their ground school video series for many years. But it really kind of scares me on this kind of situation, because it really was a miscommunication between what more or less is a private contractor government organization that was informing informing to local authorities through their knowledge of aircraft that were stolen and stuff. This airplane technically should have, had its N number absolved 8 years ago when the airplane was, it was stolen, it was taken off the record, and once an aircraft is deregistered and that end number goes over to a new airplane, there should be, you know, more communication in that, because I could certainly look it up on FAA.org or FAA.gov and see that, you know, plain and simple, it's not that airplane anymore. Mm-hmm. But no one actually did that.
I think it's a surprise to me. And I mean, it's not like there's a bunch of numbers in the world, but I can't imagine that an airplane that was stolen like that and the case hasn't been resolved or anything, that N number would come back out again in the first place. You know, it seems like there should be a pool of N numbers that are not going to hit again. You know, avoid some of this in the first place. Of course, there's always overzealousness, and that's, the overzealousness of our fine law enforcement sometimes drives me crazy.
Well, one of the things that came to my mind, when this first all happened, I mean, this is a general aviation airplane, and it's a Cessna Skyhawk. The airplane that was stolen was a Cessna 150. So, right. I mean, rather innocuous airplanes. Yeah. What if this had been a warbird? I mean, even an L model aircraft or it could have been, because, like it or not, during the 1970s, during the 1960s, even, the latter part of the 1950s, when some of these airplanes were going on surplus, some of them were being used for means that were not necessarily nice. Some of them were being nefarious little, haulers of contraband goods back and forth. And so there could have been a record of any of these airplanes that are out there that obviously have gone into a better situation, a better home, a better life now that they're flying on the civil circuit as memorials of our World War II veterans. But it really concerns me because, the last thing I would want to see any of these days is somebody coming out and something happening where all of a sudden, this miscommunication happens and all of a sudden you've got an airplane that has these fake 50 caliber machine guns on it and all of a sudden, everybody flips out.
Yeah, you've got somebody that doesn't know any better or doesn't, or assumes the worst. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, you get in real trouble that way, and that just, that's a little bit of where, our zero tolerance policy in this country just, sometimes I don't think we're smart enough for it, but that's a true worry. The CAF B-24, old 927's got 50 calibers hanging out the windows, not just in the wings, so mm-hmm. something like that. And somebody said something, I can imagine there's, some little lady at the end of Arlington Municipal that says, "Hey, there's an airplane with guns on it flying around out there," and mm-hmm. yep. you get the wrong Barney Fife and you're getting in trouble.
Oh yeah.
It's
certainly something to think about. Luckily we've had folks like the great people over at AOPA, Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, that are keeping tabs on this and making sure that, the work gets done to, improve this situation so it doesn't happen again. But from what I have heard from, people in the know, is that it happens regularly. It happens on a more regular basis than what you think. The only issue is that we never hear about it because it's not aviation personalities. I mean, could you imagine if Jack Roush had something like this happen to him or something like that? I mean, it would be all over the place.
And I imagine that this kind of stuff happens more than we'd like to know. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's all kinds of mistaken identity. There's all kinds of people getting in trouble for innocuous things. And, it's just the mood in the country in the last 10 years or 9 years have really, fed that fear as well. It doesn't help when you've got, a stolen airplane out there. But, this guy here in Texas that flew his Piper into the IRS office, that puts a new spotlight on general aviation that we really don't want or need. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's some people out there that think that everything is preventable, and we all know that's not true. So
yeah, that's true. That is true. It's definitely, hindsight is 20/20 when we look at a lot of these things too, and so you've got to be take it with a grain of salt, but at the same time, let's protect ourselves out there on that. But what are your thoughts, folks? Give us a call here, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. We'll get you into the studio. And again, we're giving away a free Aero Cinema preview pack DVD with two of their feature documentaries on it, the America Bombers and the Mixmaster. So we're giving those away to the first caller to give us a call here tonight. Heck, you don't even have to talk to us really that much if you don't want to. We would prefer it if you did, but you know, give us a call. Again, 478-787-4768. You'll get that DVD. So have you gotten a chance to take a look at that at the DVD yet, Zane, at all, or any of the
No, I have not. I haven't seen it. I've seen their site and seen some of their samplers and stuff, and looks like great stuff.
It is great stuff. I mean, yeah. they put out a fan. I mean, just the technology. I mean, I remember growing up with Wings, you know, with the Wings show. You know, everybody knows it, the Wings show, not the one with the comedy or anything like that. That.
The Martha's Vineyard?
Not the Nantucket thing. So, but, you know, I grew up with Wings, and I remember, you know, all the documentaries and the same, you know, British gentleman, you know, speaking and the you know, music behind it, Wings of the Luftwaffe and stuff. And, of course, you know, I don't know if anybody knows of this, but, you know, the producers of that series and Philip Osborne, they're behind Aero Cinema. So the same quality of that kind of stuff that you find – from, you know, back in those days when you used to watch that stuff, you know, that was going on 10, 15 years ago at this point.
Sure.
Same quality you can get now online anytime. So it's a really great, you know, it's a great deal. And it's fun too, because they've been bringing out some interesting stories of things that are a lot more obscure than what you'd get on the mainstream television. So, and of course, you know, with the computer graphics that you can create these days, you can make whole battle scenes, or, you know, air to air video from literally some pixels. So,
is that the same? Are that the same guys that do the dog fights as well? Is that the same?
No, not the same group, but very similar. I mean,
same kind of idea. You know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, CGI can do a lot of stuff, and I mean, heck, we saw it in you know, movies like King Kong and stuff where they use some CGI. Jackson put in some you know, fantastic CGI flying along with, you know, full scale replicas of these you know, pre-war airplanes that he had in there. You know, Grumman aircraft. I believe it was. If I'm not mistaken, I think they were Gulf – or was it Gulf Hawks or Sparrow Hawks? Or?
Yeah, F-3s, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, maybe. Something along those lines. Speaking of F-3Fs, here's something that kind of fell off my radar for a little while, but we're looking for people who have a little bit more information on this, and I know some of our West Coast listeners know of this, but Chris Prevost from up in the northern part of California, who has the TP-40N that he finished his restoration on last year, purchased the F-3F that was formerly located with the Lone Star Flying Museum down in Galveston, Texas. And of course, that airplane was involved in the big hangar flooding last year with the hurricane that came through there. And they, you know, unfortunately had to divest that airplane from their ranks to help pay for the restorations of some of the aircraft that were going to take flight again. But Chris purchased that aircraft and is in the process of restoring it. We'd love to see some posts, or would love to hear about anyone who knows any information on how that status is going. He's a, you know, real fantastic restorer, and proved his worth with getting that TP-40 back up in the air again. And we'd love to hear, you know, any stories that are around that F-3F, because, you know, the Grumman F-3F is one of those little one of the little, you know, kind of unknown pre-war, the last, I believe it was the last pre-war biplane fighter that was in the U.S. Naval inventory, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. And those airplanes were built right here in my backyard. So,
well, that's true. Yeah.
And they are fantastic airplanes. And from what I understand, they're pretty good flyers too. So, you know, that's good to know that that's gone to a good home and is going to be back up in the air, hopefully, before too long. So.
I certainly hope that. I mean, Chris's idea. I mean, they actually have a very, very good group out there where they give Warbird rides, and they're, I believe they've got a T6 and a Stearman that they offer rides in. And the intention, I guess, is at some point, I'm not sure if they've begun to offer these, is to offer rides in the P40 as well. But I'm hoping that I think that, if I'm not mistaken, this is the two seat F-3F that they were able to grab their hands on, and that would be an airplane that I would actually pay darn darn good money to go fly in, because that it just looks fun. I like steermans too, so you know, it's got nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it's got the steerman the steerman biplane wing plan form kind of thing with a, you know, fighter kind of, you know, cockpit and a fighter, you know, enclosed canopy and, you know, big old engine up in the front, and it's got Wildcat crank style landing gear on it, so that would be fun to see. If anything, it would be great to see as an airplane on the air show circuit, maybe doing a little bit of acro, kind of what like what Greg Shelton does with his F3F, you know, kind of a neat you know little act to see out there. But
well, is the and I don't know if anybody knows is the because I thought that the F3F originally went to Nelson Ezel's place out in Breckenridge. And I don't know if it's been moved from there or not. If anybody knows where this thing is exactly and what the scheme is, let us know. Sure.
Yeah, I actually I think I saw some pictures of them unloading it up at the up in California. So I think it's I think it's up there, if I'm not mistaken. But again, you know, that was a Facebook picture, so you know, you never know.
And speaking of Ezels, does anybody out there know what Lone Star Flight Museum stuff still out there in Breckenridge is, and then how those restorations and are coming? If anybody knows, give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call here, 478-787-4768. I know it's a slow night, folks, but I know people are listening out there, so give us a call here. Again, 478-787-4768, and come on, we've encouraged you to call us in because we're giving away a free DVD, my goodness. So,
well, how long did it take to give away a DVD last week?
It actually was pretty quick, so I'm surprised this week. It must be everybody's just languishing in this heat that's going over. Of course, you know, you and I have been talking about this too, is that everybody's sick. It's that pre-Labor Day blues that you've got. You know, everybody has got to get sick before Labor Day, so they're probably, you know, sitting there sniffling, sneezing away, and, you know.
Well, that's the bad thing about going. Most schools start back before Labor Day. Make sure everybody's good and sick for Labor Day weekend.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, I don't deal with that stuff. But it's 22 minutes after the hour here, folks. And again, you're listening to Wicks Warbird Weekly live here on September 1st. Again, give us a call, 478-787-4768. Speaking of interesting warbirds that are kind of on the market, we were talking a little bit earlier about some of the aircraft that Courtesy has up for sale. I noticed that there was actually some news coverage this past week of a Saab Draken being placed up for sale, which I think is you know, kind of interesting. You know, we've seen a lot more of these Cold War era aircraft coming over here to the United States, but it looks like an organization in Stockton, California has this airplane up for sale. It's a 64 model. It's a J-35 Draken. You know, if you're hot for Delta wing airplanes, that's really one of the more unique airplanes I've ever seen.
It's definitely a Saab.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't have the bubble, or I'm sure it doesn't have like the unibody, you know, crash proof construction or anything like that. But
it's cool.
It is definitely very cool, and you know, it's from what we've been gathering is that it's actually a pretty. Pretty inexpensive when you think about it, aircraft to purchase at this point, because somebody was saying it was going for a little over $120,000 or something along those lines, and I said, my goodness, you could buy an almost a brand new, you know, Beechcraft Baron, a whole, you know, twin engine regular piston aircraft for that. But of course, it would probably cost you $10,000 an hour to fly it.
So. The gas is just not comparable there.
that is true. But
of course, now that Saab has gone out of business car wise, you can't get parts from GM anymore either.
Oh, exactly. Sorry, folks, you're just gonna have to go down to Napa to get parts for the Draken if you need to get parts for the Draken for that one.
Well, so. In all seriousness, this was a lot of people have seen this airplane. It's the one that was painted with, I guess, had sponsorship from a Saab dealership there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's familiar to on the circuit a little bit. So
And of course they had the tagline before they went bye-bye of, you know, born from jets, which is true. I mean, you know, the actual, you know, Saab car company was really born from the Saab aircraft company. I mean, back during World War II, they had the dive bomber, the B-17, which is different than the United States B-17. It had the big bathtub style landing gear pants, and was actually, from what I've gathered was a very effective dive bomber. One of them still is in operation, or at least in runnable condition. I don't know if it flies anymore over in Sweden, it's a great lineage, and it would be a shame to see this languish and not have an owner anytime in the near future. So if you've got a spare $175,000 and a recurring income of about 10, 15 grand a month to be able to pay for the gas, it's the perfect Christmas gift.
My wife would be excited if I brought that home.
Yeah, she would. You say, honey, I bought you a Saab. Oh, wow. Thinking of the sporty little car, and all of a sudden this behemoth of a jet, basically the Swedish, the Swedish F4 is sitting in your driveway at that point.
I wouldn't be on next week's show, I think.
I don't think so either. I think you'd be buried someplace in the Permian Basin, I think, at that point. So.
I don't know if she'd drive that far to bury me, but
yeah. All right, you'd be thrown into the lake over by Trader's Village. So that's
there you go.
That's more like it. That's more like it. Again, folks, give us a call here tonight, 478-787-4768, to join in on the show this evening. We are live here, if you're listening to us on September 1st, and it's about 26 minutes after the hour, we're giving away a free Aero Cinema Preview Pack DVD. This is great, folks. I mean, it's basically a 2-hour long piece, if you look at it, with all the extra content that's in there, plus two 45-minute long full-length documentaries. You can't beat it. So, I mean, you'd pay $36.95 for this, if you were doing it through Amazon.com. So give us a call. We'll give it to you for free. So, again, 478-787-4768 give us a call here.
Ryan, it's your producer, Matt. I love that you've now murdered Zane, and you've crossed every subject known to man. And you now have a caller. I just wanted to say,
oh my goodness,
you now have a caller.
Caller, you are on Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Go right ahead. Who's this?
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Zane. This is Paul Gordon from Denver, Colorado. How are you guys doing today?
Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, Paul.
Paul must have been sitting there going, I feel sorry for the guys.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just going to call and tell you guys that the air show was pretty good last week. It wasn't too, or last Saturday, so it was a pretty good deal. So
yeah, I was going to. I was hoping you'd give us a call in and report in. You got a chance to see old 927, I'm guessing, and went out there and crawled through it and such.
Well, no, I didn't get to crawl through it. Unfortunately, I did get to see it and I saw it fly, which was great. But I didn't get a chance to really do too much of the air show because I was volunteering for one of the local vendors there, a museum in the Denver area. But I did hear from a lot of good friends. They said it was awesome. And actually, I just spoke with John Little from Colorado, and he would have called in, but he's not feeling so great tonight. So,
another one. Oh, my goodness. Zane, you passed it around to everybody. Oh.
I guess so. Nobody coughed on
me. It was a good time. It wasn't too bad. I mean, lots of noise, and there was a little bit of heat, so it was warm, but... I saw a lot of smiling faces and a lot of good planes. It was a great time, real good time.
Great,
so.
Great. Well, you mentioned the museum that you were working with. Just wanted to check. I mean, I'm guessing that you're referring over to the Spirit of Flight Center there up in that area. Is
yeah,
that correct?
Yeah, actually, I'm doing volunteering for the Spirit of Flight, and it's basically a living history museum up in Erie, Colorado, and they do a lot of aviation events and education for young and old and family groups, so it's a really good time. I mean, we have a lot of good things here in Denver. Wings Over the Rockies, Spirit of Flight Center, lots of different things. So it's a really good town to be in for aviation.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What's the website for Spirit of Flight Center? Just asking.
Spiritofflight.com, and it's run by a person named Gordon Page, and he actually went over to Russia and recovered, I believe it's a Mu-109F version.
Wow!
So he brought one of those back.
That's great. I think I've met Gordon a couple of times. He's been at ICAS a couple of times and such. And he has a great book that he has been selling too, called, I believe it was Warbird Recovery, for a couple of years. Great read. Certainly I'm sure it's on sale there at the Spirit of Flight Center too. But
that's actually why I met him. I mean, I actually got his book and read through the book, and then I met him a couple years back at an air show, and he kept telling me, if you like warbirds, come on up to the center. There's some nice warbirds up there. And finally got up there and took a look. Impressive stuff. So.
Wow. Well, I'm glad. Well, I'm glad that you're able to volunteer for them again. We'll post it on our Facebook site tonight. The URL spiritofflight.com, so that everybody can get a chance to take a look at it. And we'd love to have Gordon join us on the show maybe one of these nights too. Maybe we can actually do a legitimate, honest to God interview with somebody for one scene.
Oh,
you know,
that'd be great.
Yeah,
stories to tell about his adventures to Russia and basically what he does. I mean, as far as the Spirit of Flight goes. That's what it describes. When you walk out of your house and you look up, that's the Spirit of Flight. So it's a great organization.
Great. Well, I appreciate you giving us some information on that too. And you know, keep up the great work out there. And post away. And did you get any photographs while you were out there? I mean, while you were volunteering and stuff. I mean, it would seem a shame that you were out there and if you wouldn't take any photos of anything. I mean,
not so much. I mean, I definitely meet a lot of the pilots after they flew and they came by and talked. And a lot of my friends came by, so it was a good time. But I got some pictures during the Twilight Show, but it was very overcast, starting to rain almost towards the evening. So I got a couple pictures, but they were dark and fuzzy and not so hot. But there were a lot of photographers there that got some excellent photos. So I definitely recommend that they, look them up on the internet. A lot of good stuff out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that there's plenty of them. I'm sure somebody has posted some over at Wix, and FenceCheck probably has a ton of them, too. So,
I just wish I'd seen that Osprey come in and go. I mean, I'd never seen one of those before, and that was impressive seeing that up close. They had a tornado and Osprey and lots of cool stuff. So.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, having a tornado at your show is a pretty cool deal. I've only seen one at a show before. I was here in Fort about 10 years ago. And the V-22 is something to – I'm glad they're finally getting that thing out to some air shows. I know last year, believe it or not, here at the home of Bell Helicopters, first time we had a V-22 at an air show. So indeed fortunate to have one there, Paul. They're quite an interesting machine, that's for sure.
It really was. I did have one thing for you guys, which I thought was odd, and maybe you guys know more about this than I did. I did get a chance to go out and look around the aircraft, and they had two F-18s out there, but one of them they had a guy standing in front of, and he said, no pictures at the front of the plane because the intakes are classified or something like that, which was a little odd, but I was wondering if you guys have ever heard of that before.
I have a little bit. Some of the I don't know, there's something about the Super Hornet, the EF model, that they don't want photographs of, but it's kind of crazy because Google F-18 intakes and you'll find plenty of photos of them. So I don't know what the deal is with that. It was, apparently there was a growler there, one of the F-18, F model growler, and they didn't have any restrictions on that airplane from what I understand, for taking pictures of those intakes. And this same airplane.
Yeah, I mean,
so who knows?
One of them, there's nobody standing around except for the little yellow tape, and you could take as many pictures as you wanted. And the other one, the guy was in front, and he was very nice, but he says, no pictures of the front of the plane. You can take it from the sides, but none of it down the intakes, which, you're at a big air show. There's a lot of cameras going off all the time, but I'd never heard of that before. So, but it was great to see it, and the people were very friendly. Wonderful time. So,
perhaps he was afraid of waking up his crew chief who was sleeping inside the intake there. I don't know. Yeah, could have been the case.
That's what was in there. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a little guy, but he's important.
Oh, no, exactly. Clear, guys. Thanks. I mean, I knew you guys would know the answer.
So, yeah. No,
well, I appreciate it. I like the show, guys, and I just wanted to call in and say hi. And it's a great show. I listen to it every week, obviously.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, as much as you do too, Paul. It's always great to hear from you, and it's always we're definitely building up a great over the air friendship. And I'm going to have to get up there to Denver sometime in the near future and actually meet you face to face and buy you a steak or two. So,
oh man, buy you a beer too, right? No problem at all. Well, hey, John Little says hi, and a lot of people up here, and just come on up sometime and get a chance. You too, Zane.
All right, we'll do.
All right.
Talk to you guys later. Bye.
See you, Paul. Take care. All righty, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back with you, we'll have more Warbird chat here on Wix Warbird Weekly Live. And again, if you want to give us a call here at 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. It'll get you on the show and get you that free DVD. We'll be back.
This is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
What America did for me, I treasure deep in my heart. I never dared to dream that someday I would be wearing the uniforms of two great air forces, that I would complete three distinguished military schools, accumulating some 8,000 flying hours in some 85 different types of aircraft. Yes, I was able to really achieve and accomplish all this with the opportunity given to me by Uncle Sam and the American people. And my gratitude to this great country is too great to express in words how I feel in my heart.
The Logbook Series featuring Steve Paisanos, available now at AeroCinema.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics of Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, we're back here at Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on Warbird Radio. Ryan Keough joining you along with Zane Adams one more time here, and we're here with you live. If you're listening to us on September 1st, it is a live show, and we're taking your calls again, 478-787-4768. A little shout out on our Facebook site from listener Don Price. Can't call in because he's at work, but he's listening away. So thank you very much for tuning in tonight, Don. Don's a good member of ours and has kept us informed on the Texas Raiders rebirth this past year. So we appreciate all of his support on the forums and his great
input. Poor Don. I think he works in a basement, in some state building in Houston. So.
Oh, no.
You've got a feel for him, yeah.
But he does have probably one of the most colorful tail draggers I've ever seen in my life. So at least he's got something to do on a weekend. So, Don, thanks for tuning in tonight, and we hope all the rest of you are tuning in as well. Again, we're giving away free DVDs tonight from Aero Cinema to the first caller, the first actual caller that calls in tonight. Paul won last week, so that's why we couldn't give another one away to him last week. But give us a call here again, 478-787-4768, and you'll get the free DVD. We'll mail it off to you, and you can just watch right away while you're listening to us next week. So, but we're having we got a caller. Hey, look at that. Caller, welcome to Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Who is this?
Hi, this is Bill Greenwood.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi, Bill.
Well, good in one way. I never can get it to come on my computer. It says I need some Adobe Flash update, so I don't have any idea what an Adobe Flash update is. Maybe I'm just way below the learning curve, or maybe my computer has a problem or what, but I never can get it to come on there.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, that's one of the things, is that the Adobe Flash is one of the players that's used to play it over the air. So you might have to just say yes to it and let it do its thing, but you won't regret it.
It also says I have to log in on Warbird Radio, and I'm not logged in, and it didn't want me to log in on that. Is that something you have to do too? You have to be a member?
Well, it's a free membership. It's just you know, once you're, it's kind of like Wix, you know, put in an email address and a username and that kind of thing, so you can log in, and that gives you access to all the photo galleries online and all the podcasts and such, so you can listen to it.
And Ryan, if I can jump in, you don't actually, sure. Bill, you don't have to join up for anything. The only thing that all you have to do is click the big button on the right there that says listen live. If you just download the Adobe Flash thing. Then you'll be able to play it right away. But hey, the good news is you've won an Aero Cinema DVD tonight just for calling in. So there you go.
What's the deal with the John and Martha King? I saw that there was some discussion about them, and I don't know them other than I've used their courses.
Yeah, it was a strange circumstance where they were taken into custody actually at Santa Barbara Airport because the aircraft that they were flying, which had the N number 50545, that N number was used on a Cessna 150 that was stolen 8 years ago. The airplane was deregistered. And when John and Martha got their 172, they put that N number on their airplane, not knowing the history of what it was. And
they were actually arrested.
Yep, they were actually put into handcuffs and were taken into custody at gunpoint until it was all sorted out.
Well, if I've ever seen a hardened felon, it's Martha King, isn't it? You know, you can just tell by appearance there that's you know, the Tommy gun and all that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking it was some sort of disgruntled person who may have had overwhelming urge to do that after watching hours and hours and hours of King School's videos. But no,
I think their courses are great. Frankly, I really think they save a lot of time. You know, well, what was the result of it? I mean, did someone finally apologize? And
yes,
and
actually,
are they suing
today,
the people that arrested them or what?
I know there's been no talk of any sort of lawsuit or anything like that, but the Santa Barbara police chief did apologize publicly and apologized very, very heavily. It was covered in AOPA and it was covered by just about every single aviation media organization out there. So
this is the first I've heard of it, you know.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, I mean, from what we were talking earlier on is that this happens on a more regular basis than what we think.
Were they in a 152?
Nope, they were in a 172. So, it wasn't even the same type of airplane. Oh. And if you
usually
on
they're
the
in
FAA,
a Citation or something, you know.
Yeah, they've got a Falcon 10 that they fly around, but evidently they were doing something. They filed IFR, and a government clearinghouse a private contractor out of El Paso, Texas, some sort of information gathering organization, noticed the airplane was on a IFR flight plan, had it, I guess, flagged because it was a stolen airplane, and dispatched the local PD to go out there and do their thing. So it was
Bill, it's the lead story there below the hurricane on AOPA.org. So
how long ago did that happen?
Yesterday, I think, didn't it?
It was actually a little bit earlier. It was, this past weekend.
I think they should call a good civil attorney and see if they can get more than an apology. That's just ludicrous. But I'm not totally surprised, you know. But when the TSA was trying to arrest Joe Foss, you know, going through the airport, he had his Medal of Honor medal with him, and he was going to some reunion, and they didn't understand what it was. They wanted to prevent him from taking the metal on the plane because it was a metal object or had sharp edges or something, you know.
Yeah, that was exactly it. It was right after they had gotten, you know, really, really hard on pointy objects or anything like that in there.
There is no level of common sense so low that you can't find some government employee that's below it. I'll say that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, you know, this is something certainly that, you know, I keep asking, Warbird owners and such is that as you're out there flying in the civil community and your Warbird. I mean, when your Spitfire is up and flying again, that's certainly something that you're going to have to, that would be worrying me. And as a Warbird pilot, does that worry you at all? Because, say you fly into a place that you don't know very much about, and they think that you're on an honest to God, you know, Warbird type airplane that is invading them for some reason or another. I mean,
well, actually, mine is old and funky enough that I've never had that really happen, even though it does have the gun barrel still there. And I'll never have had that happen. Most of the time, people love it, and occasionally they're indifferent to it, but most of the time they love it. So I actually haven't had any trouble along that line. But what's amazing is somebody would try to find John and Martha King, who any airport ought to know, certainly any airport in California ought to well know who they are and that sort of stuff, you know. It would be interesting to find out this contract company you said that came up with all this and ordered them to be arrested, to find out, you know, who's paying them and how much they're getting on these contracts and what their markup is and what their profit is, and a little more interesting to find out who's behind all this, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's certainly, I think in time it will all come together, and we know that AOPA is on it. I know that you know, NATA is on it. All the major alphabet groups that are over there in DC keeping an eye on this, because I guess it's
how long
it's
were they held before they were released, you know?
It wasn't very long at all. It was cleared up pretty quickly.
So they weren't shot with any tasers or anything like that.
No, right? No. I don't think John would have been getting, you know, all aggressive and started talking weather or something like that enough for them to do that. So
yeah. All right. Well, God, that's quite a story. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Other than that, don't have a whole lot to say. The work continues on the spit slowly, but hopefully, surely.
That's good to hear at least, and you know, give us a ring when some progress is being made, and we'd love to see pictures at some point. But I know that you're a good poster over on the Wix, so I'm sure that we'll see those in time.
I just want to mention anybody that is coming up that's just starting out as a new student, the CD-ROM, if that's the right term, the interactive TV courses that John and Martha King have, and I think maybe there may be even another school that has same things, will really save you a lot of time rather than just trying to read it out of a book by yourself. Of course, they're more expensive, but I think it's a real time saver from what it did when my first test, I did it all out of a book, and you certainly can do it. I did it out of the Jepson books, but I think these things on the computer now will save anybody a lot of time, and I'm not much of a computer geek, so if I'm recommending them, they must be pretty good.
that's true. Well, actually, our own Matt Jolly, that's what he used for his ground school, and you know, heck, we've got if Matt, that let that be a lesson to you, that if one Warbird pilot can do it and can get up to that level, then by goodness, you can too.
That's right. Not just any Warbird pilot. It's Bill Greenwood, for God's sake.
They know, exactly.
Mr. Spitfire.
I went back when I was at the Warbird convention down in California this winter. I went back to Montgomery Field where I learned to fly at National Air College. And the same Piper Warrior that did my night flying and cross country in is still sitting there. And Nugs Madriaga, who gave me my flight test, is still there with the school, you know. And they still have some of the same Cherokee 140s and stuff. I wasn't sure about them, but I did see the exact same Warrior that I flew in all those years ago with a new paint job, but still the same number. I think it's 93.
A lot of bounces on that airplane, for sure.
So, wow. All right, well, you guys take it easy.
Wow. All right, thanks, Bill, for calling in tonight. Take care.
Thanks, wow. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bill Greenwood joining us from Denver, Colorado, areas around Denver, I should say, at this point. So.
I'm going to have to fly out there and hook Bill's computer up for him.
Yeah. We need to get him a live feed of Warbird Radio so he can listen to it.
I think Paul is going to give him a call and help him out with that, because their buddies up there close. They live up there close to each other.
That's
so,
That'd
be nice, Paul.
Is it time for after hours yet, Ryan? I think it's time to take a quick commercial break and then come back with some after hours. What do you say?
I think that would be in order.
Do you? So, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. We'll be right with.
Well, you know, I'll let you close out the show for the official live and podcast version. If you want to hear the after hours, then you got to download it on the podcast. So, you know.
Exactly.
We haven't done this in a while. I'll let you try your hand at it. So.
Exactly. So, well, folks, we will see you next week. But again, if you want to join us for Wix After Hours, stay tuned. Take care, folks, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks.
We'll be right back.
This is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
What America did for me, I treasure deep in my heart. I never dared to dream that someday I would be wearing the uniforms of two great air forces, that I would complete three distinguished military schools, accumulating some 8,000 flying hours in some 85 different types of aircraft. Yes, I was able to really achieve and accomplish all this with the opportunity given to me by Uncle Sam and the American people. And my gratitude to this great country is too great to express in words how I feel in my heart.
The Logbook Series featuring Steve Paisanos. Available now at aerocinema.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hello? Is this Wix Warbird Weekly Live? Is this the after hours?
Why, yes it is, little
well,
boy.
I was hoping y'all might be able to talk to me tonight. All alone here at the house. Welcome.
Well, that's okay. We'll keep you warm with our little
I don't know who
Warbird
that was.
Chat.
I don't know who that was that snuck in here. Some creepy old guy.
It was creepy. Thank yeah. you.
Wait a second. Somebody check the predator list. Someplace.
I think that was my neighbor. Yeah, the creepy old guy.
I did hear there was a predator down someplace today. So you
know,
did
you hear that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa! Hey!
Oh
hey.
Boy! Yeah. Welcome to Wix After Hours. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to Wix After Hours. What a fun! That was pretty cool. That Bill Greenwood called in. Of course, Paul Gordon. Man, that you just never know who's going to call in.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Warbird Bingo every week, and you know, you never know when you'll get B-17 or
that's
B-24.
Right.
Or,
yeah, you never know. You know. Never know where the lines.
You never know.
Propellers and plastons are blurred. You know, during the live show, Larry Kelly called in a few minutes ago, and to my cell phone, and trying to coordinate. But I was like, you know, what alternate universe have I found myself on now? Have all these cool friends now? You know, before it was just, you know, the mayor and the city councilman that called and didn't get their quote right or whatever. This is much better.
Exactly.
This is much better. This is a much better way to be in the mass media. You know, hanging around Warbirds, guys like yourselves, and all of the great listeners out there. Just a lot more fun. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, you never know the day that, you know, Scooter Yoke's going to call you up and say, hey, come on over to my house and play pool. You know,
it's funny you mentioned that Scooter Yoke called earlier today.
Oh, that's funny.
It's funny you mentioned that. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, crazy though. Crazy day though. Having a good time today. Been watching the airplanes land during the show tonight at DCA. Saw somebody wave actually. So
you know what? I told somebody to wave as they were coming in because they were on Wi-Fi on some airline. I don't know what it was, but you know, craziness there. So
headed in there.
Well, wave the mat.
Steve Swift was watching Airplane on Airplane today, so he was posting on Facebook. So it may have been him.
Wow, it might have been Steve, huh?
Wait a second. Does that create like an alternate universe or a shift in time when you're watching airplane on airplane?
Right, the space time continuum gets just a touch bent.
It's like a reflection in a mirror. Yeah, suddenly everybody eats fish and gets sick. Oh well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that Mel Brooks film Spaceballs when they're watching real live TV of now. When is now? Soon.
God.
Depends if you're going ludicrous speed or not.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now you guys are just nerding out over here on me. That you know, that's okay though. Hey, listen, we have a free Arrow Cinema DVD pack here on my desk, and I would love to give one away again. So, Ryan, do you have one down there in Phoenix?
I've got plenty down here in Phoenix.
You got some down in Phoenix?
Don't.
You don't have any in Texas, Zane? You need some in Texas.
No, I don't have any.
We need to send you some. We'll send you some.
Cool. So,
yeah.
That's,
we'll do that.
That would be good. That would be
You're
good,
going out so. This weekend, Zane, to the big Lancaster event. Boy, that's going to be fun. Surprise, Charlie.
Yeah, yeah, going out tonight. For the I talked to Charlie Webb on the email today, and I'm gonna I've been talking to you, of course, Matt. I'm gonna try to do some interviews with folks, and he's raring to go. He said, "Talk to everybody." So you know,
tell them all to join the CAF. That's what you do.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. The Colbert Air Museum is supposed to have their Hind helicopter up flying this weekend, and that will be a first for me to see one of those things up flying, so I'm really excited.
That is going to be cool. You got to get some sound of that thing up in the air flying, beating the air into submission. That's going to be real. I've never even seen one in person, so that's going to be cool for you to get to see one up and flying.
They're weird looking machine. When you get up close to them, they're built like proverbial Russian, tank, I guess.
Yeah. But
We have
system to take care of backup system to take care of backup system to take care of backup system.
Yeah, he was one of the guys down there was talking. A crew chief guy was talking about it last year when I was up there and had the cowling off, and he said, "See that big gearbox up there? That's all cast iron."
All cast iron? Holy cow!
Yeah, they got like 500 pounds of cast iron right on top of the airplane. So
they melted down some emerald skillets and put it back there, I guess. Huh? That's pretty cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but the one thing you were saying about the Hind is that it's not a very, in terms of, cockpit wise and stuff, it's not very big. I mean, there's not a heck of a lot of room inside the or inside the helicopter at all. And I was thinking, we might want to enlist our official Warbird seat tester, Wilma Buttfit, come out there and to actually sit down and try it out and such. So, Wilma, if you're listening, go on out there and try that out.
She gets around this part, let me tell you.
Yeah, her and her friend Carmen Dioxide. The other one, she deals with a lot of the air quality issue
around
these airplanes and stuff. That's better than Manny Oilpans, who's the T-28 expert.
Oh, my favorite, all of the clothes is off. Yeah,
yeah. What is this, click and clack all of a sudden.
Yeah. Don't drive like my brother.
Yeah. Don't fly like him.
Rass must be dragging, and
I talked to Chris Henry today, and it sounds like the twins, Zach and Chris, they might be up to some new shows, and I thought we'd hear from them tonight, at least one of them. But
the weather must be good up in Elkhart tonight, so he must have traffic.
Must have traffic. Well, he told me he was going to be off tonight. He called today, but we'll see. Maybe he'll call in now. So
yeah, exactly. Right now.
Right now. Nope.
Nope.
No, didn't work.
Nope.
No, didn't
work. But I look over it. The listenership just continues to climb. And the phone yet stays quiet. So for surely this is not interesting to talk about. But anyway,
I think everyone's down with the sickness. They're all down.
Everyone
with the
must
bug.
Be.
You know,
yeah, must be. Everybody must be down. Well, I'm looking forward to Martinsburg. That's what I've got to look forward to this weekend. Scooter Yoke's going to be flying up there in the Mustang, the resurrected veteran Quicksilver, which in my opinion, it's the nicest looking Mustang out there right now. I just love that airplane. Gorgeous.
It is shiny. I mean, it's shiny. It's pretty. It looks great from the air. And he must have some huge arm muscles because of the amount of polishing that goes into that airplane, quite frankly. I mean, I just I give him a lot of respect for flying it. I mean,
what gets me is that, I mean, look, they built that airplane out of so many parts. And that's the story behind the resurrected veteran. But the tribute that they've been able to pay, really, to the troops is just amazing. When you read the story that goes along with that airplane, I don't know if you've read it yet, but it's just a really inspired and well thought out paint scheme that really supports the troops, both the ones that are out there today, like my wife, but the guys that were back then and the gals that were back then flying and fighting these things. I mean, it's just a great, great idea and a great airplane. So couldn't be.
Yeah,
couldn't
it's a beautiful
be
airplane.
It is gorgeous, and he flies it really well. So,
well, what's what else? I mean, we, other than Scooter being out there, any other aircraft that are coming out to Martinsburg?
Well, there's a little team. I think the Thunderbugs. No, Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds are going to be there.
Oh, yeah, I've heard them. Yeah. Don't they fly? They fly L-39s.
L-2s. I think. L2. Yeah. Slow formation.
Formation L2s?
Yeah, right.
Wait, don't say L2 around Matt or else he's going to start getting jealous again.
So the Thunderbirds are going to be there. The A-10 East is going to be, demo team is going to be there. The Army Golden Knights are going to be there. If you listen to the podcast from this morning, you pretty much hear everything. One of my favorites, both new and old favorites, Manfred Radius, to me, one of the greatest air show performers of the ever for sailplanes. I love watching Manfred fly. And then a new guy, not to the air show scene, but with this new act, is Michael Kennedy with Valiant Echoes, who flies the aerobatic routine in the BT-13.
And that's true. I've seen some of his stuff. Really cool. I mean, that's the stuff that you would have seen over training fields, like here in Arizona. You would have been seeing over Falcon Field or something like that back in the 1940s. You know, guys doing their initial combat maneuvers training at that point. So it's neat to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, and he does it with the two-way radio up there. So you hear the student, and then you hear the instructor take it back over and say, "Ah, no, what are you doing? Let me show you one more time." So it's pretty
cool.
Pretty cool that stuff
like
that
fun,
he does. Yeah, he does a great. And you know what? He flies the heck out of that thing. I mean, really does.
Energy management, huh? Yeah.
Well, yeah, and if you listen to Michael's interview we've done with him before, you'll hear him talk about that. He said, "Well, when I first bought the airplane, he goes, I thought I had, got myself into something that I just couldn't handle because it just was real sloppy and didn't perform right." But they reset the control tensions based on the Vol-T manual. He said it suddenly became a great airplane, but you really got to work at it. So he goes to the gym and works out and all that kind of stuff. So he can fly that big beast. But pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing him fly this weekend. And of course, Team Vandy One is going to be there. And as Larry said earlier, he's going to be there with Panchito. And just in support of the DAV. So it's going to be a great weekend for vets, young and old. So there you go.
If you get a chance to talk to the Golden Knights guys, try to find out, find the guy that got stuck on a pole here in town when they landed in the Rangers baseball stadium last week. I don't know if you guys heard about that or not, but one of them came in a little short and got hung up on the flagpole on top of the stadium.
Ooh. Man.
He's got a new call sign he's got to.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Call sign snag.
Yeah. Oh, God. Wow. Yeah. But I've heard those stadium jumps are just brutal. That's all I've ever heard.
And they were talking about this stadium. Of course, pitchers and have always complained about the winds and the weirdness of the stadium that we've got here. And so they said this one, there's two or three in the country that they really have to work at to get in just right. So,
I bet. I rode on going out to, where was I? Out to ICAST last year on my commercial flight out of Atlanta. There was a guy, and he's a member of the Special Ops demo team. And he was telling me, he said, those stadium jumps, he said that he had just jumped down in Florida into the stadium down there, and said, that's the hardest jump you can do. So, anyway.
You get all that burbling and that macro or micrometeorological stuff going on. Yeah. I'm sure it's got to be
done
rough.
Never done it. I've never jumped out of a perfect airplane.
I probably won't either because I'm...
My wife has jump wings, and she got hers in the old round chutes. And
holy crap.
Yeah, God lovers, right, man alive. Not me.
That's a 30-mile-an-hour hit, isn't it?
And she's told me stories about, like classmates getting drug across the, so hey. I just don't know about jumping out of an airplane. I don't know. Hope I never have to. Have you heard the show that we had on with the guys from the Paraloft? Have you heard that show? Really interesting story. So many Warbird guys. They strap on the parachutes, and you ask them, like, well, did you go to any egress training about that? And they're like, yeah, they just pull the thing after you. But listen, I'm telling you, there's an art to this. And I'm telling you, it'll put the fear of God in you if you really study this stuff and figure out how you're supposed to do it. If you're what they were saying on the show, and I'll have to, we need to have them back on. We need to have Noah Graham back on to talk about this. But basically, if you're under, 3,000 feet, just... write it in. Find a good place and go. Because the timing just does not work to your favor otherwise. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. You'd need a static line in order to do something like that. I mean,
pretty much.
And on top of that, I mean, you've got all that weird stuff where in, you know, high speed airplanes especially, you know, you could jump out or, you know, jump off the side of the wing or whatever, and the chances of hitting something on your way away from the airplane are pretty high. I mean, look at what happened to Kevin Eldridge out here at the Phoenix 500 air races years ago when he jumped out of the Super Corsair that was from Planes of Fame that was racing and, you know, caught fire, massive fire, jumped out low altitude, hit the vertical, and basically, you know, broke his back, broke, you know, part of his neck. Yeah, and right. I mean, he was in bad shape for a long time after that point.
Well, but what Noah was saying made a lot of sense. He said if you're up at altitude, the best way to bail out of like a T6 or something like that, roll down full down trim and get the canopies open, hold the stick, you know, keep it level, and then when you're ready, push up,
let go
and get out, and the airplane's going to dive and you're going to go up. So still, I mean, you hope you never get in that situation, and you hope you can get the aircraft out away from the crowd and or away from anybody. And, you know, if you're going
to
bail out.
There's lots to think about in a hurry when that. When
sure does,
like
doesn't
that.
It? I mean, it really does. I'll never forget that time we were flying out of Robbins with the Aero Club, and there's just nowhere good to land when you're taking off to the north there at that airfield. And he goes, all right, you've lost an engine. Now where are you going to land? And you kind of look around and you're like, well, he goes, what about over there in that clearing? I'm like, well, I don't know if there's enough room, but I said, I can get the plane, you know, lawn darted in there. And he goes, well, it's probably your best option, isn't it? I said, yeah. Yeah, well, it is. I guess so, you know.
Solid. You see those guys that landed that Aero Commander in a construction zone on a freeway in Florida, I think, this week?
I heard about that. Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Great job of getting the thing on the ground.
Crazy. I was going to say, yeah.
Not enough room, but they, you know, walked away from it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, that's the decision you have to make. When you take off, I mean, you just have to, you know, you put your put yourself in that situation and, you know, hey, get to do what you got to do, right?
So, That's true. Well, you know, and every single pilot has to do this. I mean, you can't casually fly an airplane. No. There's a lot of people out there that just think, okay, well, I'm just going to go out and fly the airplane. I mean, you can't casually fly it. You got to get into a mindset. You know, it's not like driving your car. And even driving your car, you've got to get into the mindset of, okay, what's going to happen? If somebody comes at me from one side, am I going to get T-boned? You know, in an airplane, it's that much worse. I mean, I always do one of those, you know, pre-takeoff briefings. Okay, where are we going to go if we lose an engine below this you know, level? What are we going to do when we go above? Because there's a lot of people that lose it right on takeoff, and, you know, they either make the wrong decision, go straight ahead. There are many times that you've got enough energy that you can turn right back around and land on the same runway that you're at, but they, you know, they
you
got to
be careful doing that too, because
exactly, you know, low speed stall. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it all depends. You've got to know your airplane, and you got to know what you're going to do, and be prepared for it. Of course, that was the tenderfoot in me, I guess. You know, be prepared. Except for the fact I never learned how to bloody swim, so I wasn't prepared for much of anything, actually. So.
Uh oh.
That's why I ain't no Eagle Scout. So
Ryan the Rock, okay?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think
no wonder you live in Arizona. Yeah.
I think that's a good thing to do. You know, we're going into the winter, into our winter time here pretty quick. I'd like to do a week on safety. We're gonna do Spy Week here next pretty quick. Getting all the stories together. But I think doing a week on safety and aviation safety, that'd be a really fun thing to do. And then we'll also repeat that. As we come out of the winter break, right before everybody gets flying again, and you know, that seems to be the—I hate to say it—but that seems to be the most accident-prone time is, you know, that right in springtime there.
Yep, the dust-off period,
March, April, May.
It.
Yeah, I mean, so we lost a lot of guys this year, too many, and we'll do our part to keep that from happening again next year. So, good idea there, though. That's a good idea, guys. We'll do some kind of safety.
Good idea, Matt.
Good idea, Ryan, like, and them, Zane, for spurring me on there. So why you guys make all the big money around here. So there you go.
Who are you talking to?
I'm still trying to spend my paycheck from last week. For
I know. You know what? I'll double your pay this week. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, there
thank
you go.
Cool.
I have ultimate job security, though. You can't fire me. You could just have me call into something else leave it with dead air. So.
Well, I think we beat the air into submission tonight, guys. What do you think, huh?
I think so, too.
Time to head on down to Charlie's. What do you say? Go down to the bar and
Get over there, pull the, you know, have somebody pull us a pint. And,
there you go. Well, I'll meet you down there. How about that?
Yeah, just don't bring Herbert along, okay?
I won't. I don't know where he went off to. He went down to the swimming pool. That's where he went.
the shallow end, would you?
Yeah, the shallow end, perhaps. So we'll see. All right. Well, yeah, I enjoyed it tonight. This was fun. What do you do it again next week?
I think that's in order. So again next week, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Join us here on Wix Warbird Weekly Live.
Well,
so
stay tuned for After Hours
and After Hours too. So and download the podcast this week, and we're on iTunes. So
yeah, absolutely. Man, it's been fun.
My son is so excited that we're on iTunes. He's told all his friends, my dad's on iTunes.
You know what? I've got some stuff in the works for you guys, and we'll get you some air show swag here pretty soon to hand out. So,
cool.
But hey, listen, be sure and register if you haven't already yet. If you haven't heard the P40 flying around yet, be sure and register for the nose panel that Gary Velasco is giving away from FightingColors.com. So you're going to get a P40 nose panel. You're going to get a chance to win it here, and we're going to give it away for our 1 year anniversary on Warbird Radio Live. So. Which is coming up in October, if you can believe that.
That's been on the air a year. Well, that's going to be a happy birthday.
So. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Maybe we'll do something big. We're going to have some nice people over here and some guests, and Gary will be one of them, hopefully on the first anniversary show. And you know who our first guest was Dutch Van Kirk. And we'll maybe get Dutch back on the show and all that kind of stuff, too. He's going to be he's going to be in Atlanta this weekend signing autographs. At the big Atlanta Wings over Atlanta, or Warbirds over Atlanta, which is a radio controlled event. So, yeah,
wow, he was here. I think he was in Dallas last weekend or week before last at the big gun show signing autographs.
Now, see, Dutch likes gun shows. Yeah, good guy. he's there at a lot of them.
Wow,
there you go. Cool. There you go. All right,
I'm missing out. I need to get a semi-automatic or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, but not on your airplane. Yeah,
no,
not on your airplane.
All not right, pointing guys. At one either, so.
I'm waiting for the next King's School to come out. There's going to be one. Mark my word. There will be one. So, yeah. All right. I'm gonna sign off now before we just get in trouble. So, good night, guys. Good night, Zane.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Thanks for tuning in.
Good night, John
Boy.
Yeah, good night. Good night. See you at the bar, guys. Good night.
Yeah.
Bye. All right,
see you.
Bye.